Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
How to get unstuck and to avoid the stuck cycle. Tonight we're going to dive into stuck and repetition, living a stuck-free life. Just the definition of stuck means unable to move from a particular position or place, meaning you are stuck. Sometimes it's a geographic place. Most of the time it is a spiritual place that we're stuck. But not only that, it means unable to change a situation. Can I just free you from the thought that you can change the situation? You and I cannot change anything outside of Jesus Christ. You and I do not have the power to change our life or to change. They talk about willpower. It is not, there is a thing that God has created and called us to do that we cannot do outside of His power, His grace, His mercy. But there's a lot of times we get stuck that we can't get unstuck unless we lean into Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit and the power of that Holy Spirit to unstick us so that we can move forward in Jesus' name. I never want, and you should never want, to get comfortable where you are. We should always be wanting more of Jesus, always wanting to grow, always wanting to mature, always wanting more of God's presence, more of God's Spirit. One of the prayers that I've prayed now for 20 years is, God, give me a greater desire for your word. Give me a greater desire for your presence. Why do you pray that? Because I'm better than I used to be, but I'm not everything I should be and everything I could be. And so I'm praying, God, I don't want to carry in the same expectation from 2021 into 2022 or in 2.5 months into 2023. And so when you realize that, I don't want to get stuck, even though it's better than it used to be. We don't want to get stuck just because we are better than yesterday. Good can become the enemy of great. Great can become the enemy of greater, and greater can be the enemy of the greatest. But I believe on a Wednesday night, if you've come to worship God, if you've come to seek Jesus and His kingdom, I believe in your heart of hearts, you are making a statement. I do not want to stay like I am. I don't want to stay where I am. I want to continue to grow in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I'm unstuck. Isaiah 43:18 tells us how to get unstuck. We forget the former things. We do not dwell on the past. What your mind thinks about long enough, your spirit will follow. The Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind is what our life will follow. What you think about. That's why we cannot give God 65, 75 minutes on a Wednesday night and 90 minutes on a Sunday morning and expect that that is going to change the whole trajectory of our life. You've got to wake up talking to Jesus. You've got to go to bed talking to Jesus. If Jesus rolls you out of bed at 3 a.m. and wakes you up, you got to talk to Him then too. Getting in your word and letting Him put the scriptures up behind me, that's good for Wednesday night, but you're going to have to get in your word in other times of the day. Why? Because my mind tries to play tricks on me. My heart is deceitfully wicked. I've got to keep my mind on Jesus. Isaiah 43:19, God says to Isaiah to tell to the people, He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Somebody say, new thing, now thing. I believe that. I believe that God is doing things that have never been done before, and He's doing them right now, and I want to be a partaker in Jesus' name. How to avoid the stuck cycle. Isaiah 46 verse 9, three chapters previous, God says, forget everything that has happened before you. Do not remember the past. Three chapters later, here in Isaiah chapter 46, God says, remember the former things. Now hold on, you just told us to forget. You've got to have selective amnesia on what you're forgetting and what you're remembering. This is what God says to remember. Remember that I am God and there is no other. Remember, I am God and there is none like me. That means the things that we forget are everything that has happened, but in our past, the thing that we remember is that God has been with us every step of the way. The only time I look back is to thank God and see how far He has brought me from. And at every moment of my life, when all hell breaks loose, I don't talk about the hell breaking loose, but I remember the God that when hell broke loose brought heaven to me and to my house. The three best ways to remember is to recite. Recital, repetition, and to write down. Church, we've got to become a vocal people. It is understood that if you recite something, you have a greater chance to remember that thing. Then when you have repetition and you keep repeating it over and over again, they say if you repeat something six times that you have a greater chance of remembering it. We've got to first open our mouth. That's recital. We've got to be repetitive, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but we've got to repeat the testimony of what God has done in our lives. One of the things, that the greatest ways to repeat it is to share your testimony. Because not only are you reminding yourself, you are informing somebody of the goodness of God and that God is no respecter of people. And if Jesus did it in my life, he can do it in your life. All you have to do is say yes to him. Recital, repetition, and write it down. We've got to take good notes. The best notes you take should not be on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. It should be when God speaks to you something on Thursday. God speaks to you something on Monday morning. God does wake you up at 2 a.m. and tells you something. And you and I, if you listen to God, we've been guilty where God wakes us up at 2 a.m. and tells us something so life-changing. He says you need to get up and write it down or get your phone and type it out. And we say things like this: God, that is so awesome, I would never forget that. That's what the enemy wants you to do. God, that is so incredible. That is a life-changing word. That is literally going to change the trajectory of the rest of my life. That's going to change my marriage. That's going to change my children. And God says, get up, write it down, write it down, write it down. There's no need to write it down, God. When I wake up, it's going to be the first thing on my mind. It is so life-changing. And you go back to sleep and you wake up thinking, what did he say? Why? Because the enemy comes immediately to steal the word of God. That's why I recite it. Do you know that we are just one generation away from our great-grandchildren never knowing about Jesus? The gospel is always one generation from extinction. If we don't recite what God has done, repeat what God has done, and write down what God has done. In the Old Testament, God would do something great. And he would say, build a memorial here so that when you walk past the memorial, your kids ask, what happened there? And now you can recite and repeat what God has done. When was the last time that your kids, your coworkers, your neighbors asked you what this means in your life? And you can take a stroll down memory lane and say, 3 years ago, I was strung out on heroin. 7 years ago, God did this in my life, and it changed things. The only thing that we remember from our past is we serve a good God and the goodness of God. Everything else is not worth remembering. We repeat the past when we drag the past into our present, and the future becomes just like yesterday was. And remember, nostalgia is a dangerous thing. Because it's always, you think it's better than it was. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, says that the people of God, the nation of Israel, would have went back to Egypt if they could have. They forgot how bad slavery was. And the enemy tricked them that their past was greater than their present and greater than their future. Can I tell you, the enemy, the devil, is a liar and he's the father of all lies. Your past was not the greatest portion of your life. If you are still breathing tonight, God's plan is still in effect, and there's a great future for you. Let's talk about being stuck and the repetition of being stuck. Stuck, defined, we've talked about unable to move from a position or place, unable to change a situation. Stuck is doing the same thing. Stuck is staying the same place, and everything in your life remains the same, and it comes down to one word: repetition. If you keep doing what you've always done and you've had the same result and you're stuck, you need to do something different. Or you need to change the focus on what you're looking at, what you're meditating on. Momentum is built through repetitious moments. If you have a bad moment, that moment can turn into bad momentum. We always talk about momentum as it is a good thing, but there is such thing as bad momentum. There's 24 hours in a day. Don't let 1 minute mess up your entire day because you got stuck in something that happened at 7:03 a.m. You're going to waste the next 16 hours of your life because of a moment that happened. I'm not going to hold my future hostage by a bad phone call or one bad text. And I'm preaching to myself here because I've got to encourage myself sometimes when 3 minutes on a Wednesday could undo the entire... I say, nope, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I've been stuck before, and I'm not going to let that minute turn into an hour, and that hour to a day, day to a week, week to a month to a year, and look up 3 years, and I got stuck because of a faithless moment. Moments build momentum. Momentum is a good thing if you're running towards Jesus. Momentum is a terrible thing if your eyes are out of focus and you are stuck. You can have a momentum where you're stuck and it's hard to get unstuck. I was talking to a young person the other day, encouraging them, and they had made a mistake. And so I was encouraging them, and I said this. I said, the greatest thing about this is the mistake you made was a couple days ago. You're one step off of God's path. So I said, you can step right back on tonight. But I said, the reason we're having this conversation with you at 13 and 14 years old is so that you don't take one step today and another step the next day. And then you're my age, 40 years old, and now it's not one step back on. Now you've got baby mamas and dramas. Now you've got all this past, you've got pending court cases and all this, all because you got momentum in the wrong thing. Some of us have momentum with being stuck, and it's hard to get us unstuck. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it's not me, it's not Living Way Church, it is the Spirit of God that is going to get you unstuck. And I'm here to let you know, you might be 30 years off course, but in one night, God can get you back to where you need to be. Stuck and stagnancy require repetition. You know, to stay stuck, you got to work at staying stuck. You got to keep thinking thoughts that are not transforming. You got to keep hanging out with people. Come on now. Stuck people can't unstick people. Remember that from the first week. If you keep hanging out with stuck people, you are either powerful enough for God to use you to help unstick and free them, or you are not powerful enough, and their stuckness, that's another word we made up, is going to jump on you. I am here to tell you today that if I'm going to use momentum and I'm going to build moments, I'm not going to allow those things to double down on me being stuck. Stagnancy cannot be the part of a believer's life. Who you were last year cannot be who you are today. Who you are today cannot be who you are in November. We are an ever-increasing faith in Christ, which means this time tomorrow night, you should be just a little stronger than you are tonight. So check this out. Stuck in stagnancy requires repetition. However, growth and maturity also require repetition. So here's the question. What are you doing over and 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 over? You say, that's annoying, and over. You know what's more annoying? Is you stepping in to a service and God saying, all right, that's a good step for momentum. And then you stepping out of service at 8:30. You stepping in on Sunday and stepping out when God's saying, no, this is a good part, but on Monday, I need you to do it over again. Well, church doesn't have services on Monday. You don't need a church service to talk to God. You don't need a church service to worship God. You don't need someone with guitar to praise God. You don't need a preacher to study the word. You don't need a pastor to lead the way on Thursday or Friday. You are a believer. You're a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. And to get unstuck, you're going to have to get healthier, holy habits in your life that you don't just do once or twice a week or month, but every day of your life, you've got a checklist. Have I praised God today? Have I worshiped God today? Have I prayed today? Have I have I dove into his word today? Have I testified and witnessed to somebody today? When was the last time I had communion with just me? When was the last time that I fasted? When was the last time that God challenged me on something, and instead of pouting and throwing a fit, I said, God, that is something I need to work on, and I'm going to dig into that. Can I encourage you that it's not the one thing that is going to change your life? It is what you and I decide to do every day over and over and over again that is going to help us in our lives. How many of you like to eat? Raise your hand. You could eat one good meal. If you're like me, I was going to say, and 4 or 5 hours later, you're going to be hungry again. You could eat one good meal, and 20 minutes later, you're going to need a snack. That's how it is in my house. I don't care how great the meal is, you're going to be hungry again. You could eat at the best restaurant in San Antonio with the best chef making you steak, and you can have the greatest meal of your life at 9:30 tonight, but tomorrow morning when you wake up, you are going to be hungry and your stomach's going to be growling. Why? Because it says, for me to function how I was created to function, I need you to do what you did last night over and over and over and over again. Do you know why you're here on a Wednesday night? Because Sunday wasn't good enough. You know why you'll be here next Wednesday night? Because Wednesday night wasn't good enough. You know why you pray to God thousands of times in your life? Because one prayer wasn't enough. I said yes to Mandy February 15, 2003, but every day of my life I've still said yes to her. I didn't say I do and then say I'll see you next year. I didn't say I do and then slip out of the house where she doesn't know where I am for weeks or months on end. I said I do, and for the last 20 years, I've said I do every day. Multiple times a day, I tell her verbally, I love you. She tells me multiple times a day, I love you. At least a dozen times a day, we are trading that greeting, or we are praising one another for what they're doing in our lives. That is what builds a strong marriage, is saying I do and loving them every day. She's told me she loves me even when I've made mistakes, even when I've been a grump, hello, even when I didn't bring flowers, even when I didn't do what I said I would do. It doesn't change her love. Why? Because there's such a repetition there that builds the relationship. Albert Einstein said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You most likely are not going to meet the man or woman of your dreams at the club on Friday night. You've tried that and it has not worked. Your Prince Charming is not taking jello shots at 1:45 a.m. and riding a mechanical bull at Far West or Cowboys Dance Hall or whatever they call it now. You need to quit dating boys and find a man. You need to quit dating girls and find a woman. So Albert Einstein says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I would agree with that statement if what you're doing is not working or producing a negative result that you don't want in your life. However, in great contrast with Mr. Einstein, I would have to say faith is us doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. It's really not the repetition that gets you. It's the focus and the why that gets you. Why am I doing this over and over and over again? I'm talking to the dream team now, those that are serving in ministries, running cameras, watching our children in nursery, Catalyst Kids. I'm talking to the ushers. I'm talking to the greeters. I'm talking to those that are the heart and soul of Living Way Church. You know why you do what you do over and over again? And some of you, like Brother Warren Inman, who sits here tonight, has been doing things at Living Way and serving for 40 years because he is not doing it for man. He is not doing it for recognition on earth. He is not doing it so that somebody can clap him on the back and say, you're the best and there's no one like you. He is doing it for an audience of one. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you do it for man, that is insanity. Why? Because you can work here for 40 years and you can serve and volunteer at Living Way and never draw a paycheck. But if it's for a man, you're going to get mad. You're going to get offended. You're going to get burnt out. But when you realize it's not for anybody on this earth, it's for Jesus. And what I'm doing makes a difference for him. It's faith. How can you come to service after service and God didn't answer your prayer on Sunday and here you are on Wednesday? Because my faith says if I just keep doing it over and over again, if I keep praying the prayer, God is going to hear it. If I keep serving, God is going to work there. If I keep showing up, I believe today is the day. Just got a couple minutes left. Being stuck is faithful to the wrong thing. Being stuck is being faithful to the wrong thing. And each passing moment, you build momentum to staying stuck. That is insanity. Being faithful to the wrong thing. You know, when you're addicted to drugs, you're faithful. You know, when you're an alcoholic, you're faithful. David said, 7 times a day do I praise him. Alcoholic, 7 times a day do I throw one back. Faithfulness is not the issue. Focus is the issue. Repetition is not the issue. Focus is the issue. We have all proven before we came to Christ that we don't have a problem doing the same thing over and over and over and over every Friday night. Over and over, partying. Over and over and over, alcohol, drinking. Over and over, smoking cigarettes. Over and over and over, smoking worse. Over and over, sleeping around. Over and over and over. Repetition's not the problem. Focus is the problem. Faith is not the problem. The focus of your faith is the problem. There are men in this room today that can't quote 3 scriptures but can tell you LeBron James stats from 2009. That's a problem. There are women in this room that can tell us all about the fashion of the Kardashians, but if we were to ask you what Jesus wore, the robe he wore, what the priest wore in the Old Testament, you would have no idea. That's a problem. It's not the fact that you can't focus. You're focused on the wrong thing. It's not the fact that you can't be faithful. You're faithful to the wrong thing. Repetition is not our problem. It's just doing the same thing over and over that brings us to Jesus and not drags us away. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm getting unstuck. So being stuck is faithful to the wrong thing. In each passing moment, building momentum to stay stuck. That is insanity. Being free is faithful to the right thing. In each passing moment, building momentum to stay free, that is powerful. To stay free, that is powerful. For years, and I'm still in contact with this ministry, for years I would take 8 or 10 days a year, and I would go to a Christian rehab facility, and there would be about 40 to 50 women ranging from age 18 all the way to mid, late 60s. Any of them that had an addiction, some of those were alcoholics, drug dependency, some of it was gambling addiction, some of it was pornography and sex addiction. And I remember the first time I was there, and I was hearing the heart from the founder of the ministry. I said, what's the most difficult thing that you see here? Because you see some things now. You're talking about addiction that has ruined people's lives. Kids don't talk to them. It's ripped apart their marriage. Can't keep a job. I mean, it has literally robbed them of being a contributing member to society. So what's the hardest thing? He said the hardest thing is not getting them delivered. It's them walking deliverance every day for the rest of their life. Getting unstuck is not hard. Staying free is what's hard. When I heard that, it changed my whole approach to ministry when I was there those 8 or 10 days a year for probably 5 or 6 years that I went. Because it wasn't, Olivia, about that moment getting them to an altar and praying the prayer of faith. Because in that moment, I have no doubt that they meant every word they said. But it's that Monday, that Tuesday, that Wednesday, when now I've got to walk out. Remember, it's not faith. It's not repetition. It's what you're focused on. It's what you're focused on. How do you get unstuck? Doing the right thing. Repetition. Repetition. Let me read something to you in closing. I didn't have a chance to get to where I wanted to in Luke chapter 18. But let me share this with you. Are you stuck? Are you stuck in your walk with God? If you are, devotion and communion with God have to become repetitious. Are you stuck when it comes to hearing God? I just don't hear God speak like Bishop says, like Pastor says, like I hear all of these people at church. They're always talking about, man, God told me and I'm hearing from God. If you're stuck when it comes to hearing God, prayer has to become repetitious. If you only talk to God once a week, once a month, once a year, or when you need something, how are you going to know what His voice sounds like? I can pick God's voice out of every competing voice in my life. You know, the enemy tries to sound like God sometimes, but I know it's not him. Why? Because I am repetitious in my prayer life. Are you stuck at a crossroads needing direction tonight? The Holy Spirit must become repetitious. Are you not growing in your faith anymore? The Word of God must become repetitious. Are you feeling disconnected and alone? Talking to those of you online tonight, church attendance must become repetitious. Are you having financial issues? Tithing must become repetitious. My life, church, did not change by showing up one Sunday at Living Way. My life did not transform with one prayer that I prayed. My finances didn't change by writing one tithe check. I didn't feel God every day for the rest of my life because I had one good worship experience. But every day of my life, I pray and talk to Him. I spend time in His Word and in devotion with Him. God, what are you saying to me now? It's not a week that has gone by since I was 6 or 8 years old that I have not tithed and given to God. And so I make no bones about it. I'm living the blessed life. Not because I'm better, just because I'm repetitious. Some Wednesday nights, I don't feel like coming, but I come not for you. I come because repetition to the house of God has changed my life. Some days I don't feel like serving, but I come and I serve anyway. Why? Because repetition has changed my life. I used to be stuck, but repetition to God got me unstuck. And what has kept me free all of these days is my repetition to God. Stand on your feet tonight. I feel like there's somebody in the room tonight that you need help with repetition. It's not making a big splash once in your life. It's not making a big move one Sunday in your life. It is every day of your life. Every day of your life, seeking first the kingdom of God. Every day of your life, talking to God. Every day, offering praise and worship. Every day, God. While the altar fills, let me share one story. It'd be 60 seconds. When I was a young pastor, I was preaching on prayer. And a gentleman came up to me after service and he said this question. He said, do you think that praying for the same thing over and over and over again is faith? I said, I sure do. He said, I don't. He said, I think if you pray for the same thing more than one time, it's a lack of faith. I said, well, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. He says, yeah, but that's praying about different things. I said, on the contrary, I think if you pray one prayer and walk away, that's a lack of faith.
I think praying every day over that prodigal son or daughter, I think it's the greatest faith you can have. I think praying every day over your church leadership and our national leadership every day, even if you don't see it change, I think that takes real faith. I think praying about it after you've stared it in the face in a marriage for 3 years and not seen any change, I think that takes real faith. To say, God, I don't see it changing, but I'm not going to keep praying. I'm not going to keep going to church. I'm not going to keep going just because I haven't received my answer, haven't received my miracle. I'm going to keep praying. The altar is semi-full, but I believe there's another couple dozen in the room today. I'm about to lay down this microphone, but I want to open this up right now for anybody in the room. If you feel stuck, this is your moment. If you feel bound, this is your moment. If there's addictions that you're dealing with, this is your moment. Jesus will break the stronghold of the adversary. And then Living Way Church is here to walk with you through deliverance. Walk through you through the season of learning how to be free, to stay unstuck. If you're in this house today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, that is the ultimate being stuck.